Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today's guest, we have Paul Murphy, and Paul and I actually have a long-standing relationship. In year seven, he was my science teacher at Nara High School. I had a crack at physics, and he was my year 11 physics teacher. I didn't go all the way through to year 12. No fault on his behalf. I'll take that one. But he was a school teacher at Nara High School for 32 years. So he saw people come through and then their kids come through and then their grandkids, I think. he was also very famous at Nara High because he owned enough shirts that he could wear a different shirt every single day of the year and not have to wear the same shirt twice. But now he's happily retired, and you'll see him riding his bike around Nara every now and then. But he's also been part of something in the Shoalhaven and in Nara that is very special. It's called Triple U. It's actually where we're recording this podcast right now. And many of you will have heard of Triple U. If you haven't, we'll give some more details how you can check it out. But it's a community radio station that's been going for 40 years. And Paul started here in 1993. He's done over 1,000 shows. His current show, Off the Wall, he's been on a run of about 517 in a row. It's every Monday night, 7 to 9pm. You should check it out. He's got an eclectic mix and a deep knowledge of music history. You always learn something. He's always teaching, Mr. Murphy. So without further ado, welcome to your studio. Murph, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much.
How was that intro?
Big intro.
Was it accurate?
It's accurate, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So, Murph, you know, we've got these questions, but the cool thing about this podcast in this show is that we can go in any direction.
I'll probably go off the rails.
Good, off the wall, off the rails. You're known to be the kind of person, if you ask at the time, you'll tell you how a clock works.
Yeah.
And I like that about you, and we've always had good conversations, so this will time will fly by. The first question that I asked everybody on the podcast, what's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
I think I'd have to say the people in Nara. I think Nara's got some amazing people, and there's lots of times where you see that coming out. I guess when we've had our natural disasters and things like that, you see people come out of the woodwork just helping each other. But that's happening all the time as well. So I would say definitely the people in Nara. But I just love Nara. I grew up in a country town. And when I moved to Nara, I got here in 1983. It was a lot bigger than the town I lived in. Town I lived in is probably 1,500 people, but it still had that country town feel about it. It still had that country town vibe about it. It probably a little bit less now, I guess, than what it was then. But for me, that was a big attraction to me of Nara. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's true what you're saying about the people of Nara, and you were always such a champion of students. I remember, like, you were always the one who was walking around and checking in on students and saying hi to everyone in the playground. And you know, I think that's a big part of your DNA, is you've always been a people person. Is that true?
I always used to say to staff, look, walk up and say hello to people in the playground, because there'd be people sitting there that haven't had anyone talk to them all day long, you know? And, That doesn't cost anything, and it's the same uptown. Like, I'll go uptown and I'll smile at somebody and say hello, and some people smile back and say hello, some people just put their head down and walk away. But it doesn't cost anything to just be friendly to people. Mm. You know.
So what's your earliest memory of this town? You said you moved here in 1983. What do you remember when you first arrived?
Well, when I moved here in 1983, Nara Fair had just, like, only just opened up. So, and of course, I was born in a small country town, and then I did some teaching out west in a very small town. So to me, that was, oh, look at this big shopping mall. I look at it now and I think it's pretty small. But when I first moved here, I thought it was pretty good. I also think a big attraction for me when I moved to Nowra, because I'd moved here from a little place out west called Balranald, which is a million miles from the ocean. So to be close to the ocean, to be able to go out to the beach and have a swim and go down to the river and walk along the river and things like that. I mean, there was a river at Balranald, but to be able to go to the beach was pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. And what do you think in those years has changed most about Nowra?
Well, I guess obviously the size changed, you know. I mean, even if you just think of schools, in the 70s we had Nowra High, then we got Bomaderry High, then we got Shoalhaven High, then we got Vincentia High, and we've got the Anglican School, we've got the school out along
St. John's,
and then we've got the other one out there near the Baptist Church there as well.
Christian Community School.
So we've got, like, from one school, we've got like seven schools. That's an indication of the growth in the area, in a sense.
Wow.
So that the growth has been big, and you know, you can't. That's going to happen because people move here. They like the area. Some come on holidays and then they decide they want to move here. So that's going to happen. So the size has increased a lot. I think the traffic is something that everybody notices. It's pretty hectic. I'm lucky. I live near the middle of town, so I actually walked here today. So I find that's a good walk for me. To walk into town is a nice thing to do. But the traffic is pretty hectic, so I've noticed that. I also think maybe a little bit of that country town vibe has gone. I think in some sense, we're not like a suburb of Sydney, but in some sense we've moved along the spectrum more towards that, in a sense, where it's not necessarily so cool to do what I do and walk down the street and smile at people and say hello to people you've never met before. But I still do it. I don't care. I still do it.
Yeah. I think it's cool. And, I've been back here 3.5 years now, and moving from New York City, right, as far a contrast as you can really get. And I think I have really enjoyed the last 3.5 years getting to know people and having that feeling when you walk around, you go to the shops and you smile and you see someone you know, or you see someone you've worked with. And I think that is, it goes a long way. And even what you were saying with kids at school where maybe they haven't talked to someone in a whole day, like when you are walking around and you're having that connection, I think it is one of the big advantages of living in a regional place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're sitting here in the recording studio at Triple U, and I know this is a place that is near and dear to your heart, as is community radio. And also, like, thank you to Triple U for allowing us to use this space to record this podcast. You've trained me in how to use the panels and the microphones, and you've let me sit in on your live show on a Monday night. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of Triple U, how it maybe started? It's 40 years old this year.
So we're celebrating our 40th birthday this year. In actual fact, we're Shoalhaven Community Radio, Triple U FM, and we started doing test broadcasts in 1985. So technically, that was 40 years from last year, but we actually got our broadcasting license in 1986 and started broadcasting as a station in 1986. When we first started, we were operating out of a building where the post office is now on that corner, and it was an old bank building, and it was maybe owned by council. And nobody was using it, so we were using that building. And then when we got our license, sometime after that, I joined in 1993. So they started in 1985, 1986. So I was a few years after that. But they moved out to Ernest Street in South Nowra. And then after that, we moved out to a little cottage just past the area where Harvey Norman and all those places are, just past there. And we stayed there for quite some time, and then we moved into town, and we're now in the arts building in town, which I think is really good because of a night time, if we've got announcers of a night time, when you come out, there's street lighting out the front and all that sort of stuff. If there's any drama, the police are only 2 minutes away. So in a sense, security-wise, it's good for us here. And council's been really good to us with, you know, allowing us to be here. I mean, we do pay a rent, but it's really convenient for us to be here in the middle of town. It's awesome.
Mm. And tell me about today, modern day. So you've got a location in Milton, you've got a location up here, you've got people who come on and do shows. Like, tell me a little bit about community radio.
So we've got probably at least 40 announcers. Some are here in Nowra. We've got a studio in Milton, so we've got a half a dozen people that broadcast from the Milton studio. We've got a few people who broadcast from home, from their house. So we've set it up so that they can broadcast from home. Sometimes there's health issues, sometimes there's travel issues. So we can't do that for everybody, but for people who've been on air for a while and have been valued announcers and they just can't, it just doesn't work for them to come into the studio anymore, we've been able to do that. So there's a variety of ways that we can broadcast. I think one of the benefits of Triple U is we can play. We don't have a programmer that tells us what music to play, so we can play whatever music we like. I personally like to play lots of Australian music and lots of more obscure music that people are not necessarily familiar with, but there's a wide variety of music that's played on the station. The other advantage, though, is that we can offer more time to people than they can get in the commercial radio and television area. If somebody was going to interview a local politician on local, you know, on commercial radio or commercial television, that interview might be a couple of minutes if you're lucky, whereas we can do a 15-minute interview with our local politicians, which I think really informs people in the community. It gets you to the deep dive of stuff. Instead of just getting a 30-second quick sound grab of something, you can actually ask realistic questions and get answers, and I think that's a really big thing. And we do that for councillors as well. The mayor and other councillors come on and talk about what the current issues are, and that's really been good for listeners to be able to have a deep dive into what's happening rather than just a short little grab of information, you know.
Yeah. And so how is it structured? It's obviously a not-for-profit. It's owned by the members of the community. How does that work?
Okay, so it is not-for-profit. We run on a pretty tight budget. We have sponsors that local businesses. We're very lucky because we're well-supported by the local business community here and in Ulladulla. And we have local businesses that sponsor our station, and we do sponsorship announcements for those businesses. We get some grants, but predominantly it's us coming up with the money. And we are all volunteers. So we have people who just come in and do their show and go, but we've got a few people that are doing some pretty heavy lifting here at the station. And I mean, we've got a tech guy that does all of the electronic gear, all of the radio gear, all of that sort of stuff. Now, none of those people are paid, so they all offer their services voluntarily, and that's something that we've always done since 1985. And that's a pretty amazing thing to have. You can imagine there's quite a bit that has to happen behind the scenes before we can broadcast and go to air. And we've been able to do that for 40 years with a whole range of volunteers over that 40-year period contributing significant amounts of time to the station. So that's been much appreciated.
Yeah, and if you are a local business out there and looking to support and advertise, we've actually, nowra.org.au has put some ads on Triple U, and we've got a year's package, and we've had great success, and we've had surprising amount of number of people who go, oh yeah, heard you ad on the radio, or I was just driving between here and there. And I think that, like, when one of the things that we're really passionate about at narrow.org.au is supporting community.
Yeah.
And it's like giving back to the businesses that support us, but also the infrastructure and things like Triple U, which help to get out the word. And I guess it leads me to my next question, which you've kind of touched on a little bit, but, you know, why is community radio important?
Well, I guess community radio is important because of that one word, community. And what we want to try and do is connect with the community. We want to give people in the community a voice, you know, and we want to be able to deliver local content to the community. Sometimes that means music. We have a featured artist of the month, who's a local artist each month here. But interviewing local politicians, interviewing people from council, all those sorts of things. Chance Handler, one of our announcers, does outside broadcasts sometimes associated with local businesses and goes to the business and connects with them. And that's what we want to do, is connect with community. And in order to do that, just like nowra.org.au, the first step is, I guess, we have to listen to community and have an understanding of what it is that community wants. And having come to an idea of what they want, then we have to try and deliver some of that to them. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, that is... We touched on that earlier of one of the charms maybe that you found with Nowra when you first moved here was that community aspect and that feel. And, you know, these kind of things like community radio support that as well. They help to get the word out. They help people to feel more connected. They help people to feel like they know what's going on. And so I think it's highly valuable, and you know, we're keen to support it from our perspective. Mm-hmm. In terms of some of the shows, what are some of the, other than your show, obviously Monday night at 7 p.m. Off the Wall, what are some of the shows that are worth checking out on Triple
Look,
U?
Look, I guess it comes down to personal taste. Yeah. I love, there's a show on Friday mornings from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. with a fellow called Colin Hesse. And he's an interesting character, Colin. He grew up in Nowra, and his father was a teacher at Nowra High School. So I met him at the showground one afternoon. It was in NAIDOC week, and there was a fire going all week at the showground. And Uncle Paul was up there manning the fire, and I got there, and he knew me because I taught his kids in Nowra High, of course. And I said, oh, Uncle Paul, how are you going? How are you? And this other guy was there, and we said hello, and he said, oh, you're from Nowra High. Oh, my dad taught at Nowra High. And I thought, oh, that's a good connection. But the thing I love about Colin's show is he plays a lot of Australian music, and I reckon I've got a pretty wide umbrella of music. Like, I've got a massive music collection, and I reckon I'm fairly knowledgeable about Australian music. He's played music I've never heard of, and I sit down with my pen and write things down and things like that, and check out and try and find, you know, things that he's played. But he also does fantastic interviews with local politicians. He's done interviews with people who've written books, maybe connected with the Berry Writers Festival. He's interviewed lots of musicians, including musicians that have played at the Kangaroo Valley Folk Festival. So again, there's local connections there, but I really love his show. There's a fellow on Saturday afternoons from 5 to 7, Dan Carter, and my wife and I got in the car one day, and I always play my radio show. I record my radio show, the songs before, and play it in the car. And I turned the radio on, and she said, "What's this? This isn't your music, is it?" And I said, "No, this is Dan Carter. He plays nice music." As if to say, oh, she doesn't like the music that I play. "Oh, he plays really nice music." And I said, "He does play nice music." And I said, "But the most exciting thing about his program, it'll be coming up soon. Hopefully we'll be in the car while he does it. And she said, what is it? And I said, oh, you'll see when it gets here. Anyway, we went over to Bomberry to buy a couple of hamburgers, and we're on the way home. And he said, now here's the most important part of the show. And I nudged my wife. He said, it's time for the phases of the moon, and tonight it's a waxing gibbous. And I said, there you have it. So I love that show. There's a guy who does a show on Thursday nights from 7 till 10. He's a new announcer at Triple U, and he is so passionate about Triple U. Every time he goes anywhere, to any shop, he'll go to the bakery or go to the hairdresser. He tells them all about his show at Triple U and tells them about Triple U and stuff. He has a lot of people from around town ring him up because he's talking about Triple U all the time. He plays a lot of Australian sort of heavy rocky sort of stuff, maybe AC/DC, The Angels, right down to Midnight Oil, all that sort of stuff. So I like that sort of Australian music too, so that's good. But there's lots of shows I love, yeah. You know.
So let's talk about your show. You have 517 in a row at the moment, off the wall. Tell us a little bit about your creative process and what your show...
Okay, I try to play more than half of my show every week, and sometimes the whole show. I like to play tracks I've never played on radio before. Now, when I've been on radio since 1993, it gets hard to sort of find stuff, but I'm out there looking. So I like to play a lot of stuff I've never played before. And yes, it is fairly obscure stuff. I like to play a lot of Australian music. I like to play at least a third of the show as Australian music. And the reason I like that, I love obscure music, and I'll be going in the car and an Australian song from the 60s will come on that I think is really obscure and is rare and sells for, you know, that 7-inch 45 might sell for hundreds of dollars. My wife sings along because she knows the song, because in the 60s we had a rule where every radio station had to play 25% content of Australian music, and we don't have that anymore. So I like to play lots of Australian music for that reason, that it introduces music to people that maybe they weren't familiar with. And I think it's important to support Australian music artists. I've got a friend who's in a blues band. He's been in that blues band since the 80s, and he said to me he makes more money selling one CD at a gig than he makes from, you know, 5,000 hits on Spotify. You know, they don't make money out of music platforms. They've actually got to sell stuff to make money. So supporting local Australian artists is a good thing to do. I like to do that.
Yeah, and so talk me through your process, because I've sat in on one of your live shows. You arrive with a USB, which you have ripped from, you've found tracks throughout the week, you've converted them to MP3, and then you've got 20 or 30 songs and you play, but you know a lot of information about the artist as well.
So what I do is, I've got like thousands of LPs and thousands of 45s and thousands of CDs. So
I can confirm I've seen his house.
A lot of the music comes from my own collection. Compilations, I get a lot of compilations, and I get a lot of obscure stuff from compilations. But I also have listeners send me stuff too. Like, I've had people send me tapes of stuff that they've had, and CDs and things like that, records. So people give me stuff. A lot of my stuff, I've put a lot of the CDs onto the computer. I've recorded a lot of vinyl in onto the computer. If it's on the computer, it's just a simple matter of trimming up and putting it into a file and putting the MP3s. When I prepare my show, I actually research each song. So I like to know where the artist was from and when it was recorded and what the, you know, what it was released on and things like that. So I like to find information out, because I feel like if I'm playing Midnight Oil, Beds Are Burning, I don't really have to tell you much about it, because most Australians would be familiar with it. But if I'm playing a really obscure band from Australia, I feel like it's my duty to tell you a little bit about the band, if you know what I mean, to promote the band. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is how new music gets discovered and how music gets shared. And I'm sure there's artists who have heard through the grapevine or heard their track played, and it probably gives them a lot of pleasure and joy to know that their music is still bopping around the airwaves somewhere.
Mm. I mean, you discover stuff. I bought a 7-inch 45 in, must have been about 1981, by a group called The Blasters, and the song was I'm Shaken, right? And a couple of years ago, I got this compilation, and I only discovered when I got this compilation that that song was actually a cover of a song that had been recorded in 1955, and the song in 1955 was almost identical to the song that they'd recorded. Like, they'd virtually just copied exactly the song, and I thought, how did I not know that? And you discover stuff all the time, you know? That's a good thing about collecting, is finding new things.
Yeah.
I found an album last week. I went into a record shop and there's an album there up on the wall. That's why I call my show Off the Wall, because all the good stuff's always up on the wall. And this album's up on the wall, a newish Australian band called Kangaroos with Machine Guns. And there's a photo, it's got a red cover, it's got a ute with kangaroos in the back of the ute with machine guns. And I'm like, I'm just going to buy that for the cover. And I played a track last night called Trying to Get to Dubbo, and it is a very interesting song. Like, the delivery, the voice is really dry and droll, almost country but not quite, but it's got this really interesting music carrying it through. And I thought, you're either going to love this or hate it. And I had a couple of people message me and ring me and say, that was awesome, it was really good. So yeah, that's awesome. I was chuffed.
Yeah. Well, thanks for kind of sharing a little bit about your show and Triple U. Is there anything else that, in terms of asking the community, I've got a few last questions to kind of close on anything, but like, from a radio station perspective, is there anything that the community can do, or what is the best way to support community radio?
Look, I think the best way to support community radio is by listening to it. So if you're driving around in the car, we're at 104.5 in the central Shoalhaven around Nowra. We're 92.3 north of Nowra, Berry, Kiama, Gerringong, Jarowa, those sorts of areas, and 99.7 around the Bay and Basin all the way down to Ulladulla. So listening to us is good. You can pick us up online at our website, www.triple-u.org.au. If you go to the web page, there's just a little button you can press to hear what we're playing on air. If you own a business, think about sponsoring Triple U. The sponsorships are pretty competitive price. Like, they're not expensive. Because we run on a shoestring budget, we can offer, a pretty good rate. I think the average, Pete Brantman was saying on air the other day, the average price for an ad on Triple U to just play one ad is $4, less than a cup of coffee. So, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and also too, I think the people who listen to these stations are also community-minded, and they are people who are likely to also try and support local businesses as well.
Oh, I think so. I try to shop. Even when I was doing Christmas shopping, I try and shop locally if I can. I always try and shop locally.
Yeah.
Now, there's one thing I do want to say, and that is, I'm getting old. I'm 68, right? And what I love is seeing, like, I was here when you interviewed a couple of people here a few weeks ago, and for me, you're a young person. You might not consider yourself as young, but you are. And the people you were interviewing the other day are young people. I went to the opening of nowra.org.au, and lots of the people in there were young business people, and I just think it's fantastic that these young business owners and young people connected with local business have picked up the baton and have gone, okay, how can we get a better vibe going? How can we lift this place up? And I think that's the most amazing goal to have, and I just want to encourage those people at nowra.org.au. What a fantastic idea and what a fantastic job they're doing trying to do that.
Yeah, you raise a really good point, and I think that there's so many people out there, I hear they say they want things, they're like, I want community, or I want this, or I want that, but you actually have to go out and do it and be a part of it. And the same with community radio. If you want community radio to exist, people have to show up and people have to do it. And I really encourage anybody who's listening or thinking about, well, how can I be more involved in community, is just get out there, get amongst it, you know, go to the radio station, see what you can do. If you want to, if you're young and thinking about offering a show or want to play some music like Murph does, like, get involved, get trained in how to do it. And same with nowra.org.au, is that come along, sign up for the mailing list, and, you know, come show up to events, because we get inspired, same as people who listen to the shows, we get inspired by people participating and being part of it.
I mean, I hear people go, oh, I'd like to see more music gigs in the Shoalhaven, and I know George up at L Horses was running music gigs, and I'm like, have you ever been there? And they go, no. And I go, well, you know what, if you want more gigs, you've got to support what's happening.
Yeah,
you've got to find out what gigs are happening and go to a gig. You know, if you want more of something, you've got to support what's there already, you know.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, lots of alignment there, Murph. So last few questions about Nowra. Has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting positive impression for you?
Oh, dear me, so many. I mean, as you said, I was at Nowra High for 32 years, and when I finished, on my last assembly, they didn't tell me, but I used to wear loud shirts to school, and on my last assembly, about 600 or 700 kids were there in loud shirts, and they'd all wore loud shirts, and it's just little things like that that make you go, wow, that's awesome, you know. So that's fantastic. We had some pretty serious bushfires in the end, I think it was in Christmas 2000, early 2001, we had these bushfires. And just after that, there was a community event at the showground to thank the people from the volunteer bushfire brigades. And thousands of people turned up just saying thank you. And there were bands there and stuff like that. But it was just a thank you to those volunteers. And I think that sort of thing is amazing. Just things like that where, you know, people give, so you give back to those people, and I think that's special.
Actually, talk me through that moment. So you've come into the school assembly, 600 or 700 kids, what was it, a mufti day or something, or everybody got invited to bring a loud shirt.
And I didn't know about it, they hid it from me. So
how did they hide it from you?
I don't know, I must have had my head buried in the sand or something. When I moved house, I moved into town in 2003, and when I moved house, I moved in the school holidays, and I got some of my mates from school to come and help me move. And I got back to school after having moved, and I'm walking through the playground, because you go in early in the morning. I go in about, you know, 8 o'clock or something. I'm walking down to sign on, and I thought, gee, I've got a shirt like that. And I went in, oh, I got a shirt like that too. And I walked past the ladies in the office, and I'm like, and I've got a shirt like that, and I've got a shirt like that. These guys had stole 50 shirts off me, and I didn't even know they were missing. That's how many shirts I had. And they'd all put these shirts on for the day, so that was pretty cool too. Yeah.
How many shirts do you think you own now? You've culled a few, right?
Wife has. I haven't.
What do you think at the peak? How many at the peak do you think you had?
I probably had about 200 or 300. Probably 300 at the peak. I've probably got a couple of hundred now.
Yeah.
I bought a shirt on Sunday. We went to Ulladulla on Sunday for an anniversary lunch with my wife, and I'm walking around town and I bought a shirt. I don't buy as many shirts anymore, but this one was pretty cool, so I bought it. Yeah.
They must be pretty special. If you've got a couple hundred at home and you're adding a new one, they must really have to pass a few tests.
Yeah, well, it's like music. I mean, occasionally you've got to do a cull to make room in the cupboard, so, yep.
All right, so last few questions. What do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years?
I hope Nowra feels like a friendly, warm place. I hope that Nowra feels like a place that people are proud to live. And I think that's been a sad thing for me. I think some people are not proud to say, you know what, I live in Nowra, you know. And I am. I'm proud to say I live in Nowra, you know. But I think there's been a time where people have talked the town down, and I think some people, not everybody, some people don't feel proud to live in Nowra, and I'd like to see in 10 years' time that people are proud to live in Nowra. That's my biggest wish. That's what I want, to be people are proud of the place. Because if you're proud of it, you're going to look after it, and you're going to build it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's strongly aligned with the mission at nowra.org.au is to help tell the stories and show the good stuff that's happening here, because when you hear those good stories, those positive stories, it reinforces the positive sentiment and changes the narrative. And
absolutely.
That's what our goal is, to share the stories, invite people to be here and make people proud. And you can see that through the t-shirts and the hats and the things that we put out, is we're trying to get people to be proud to wear that on their chests.
You always get naysayers, but there's times where naysayers have a bigger voice and times when they don't. And sometimes, you know, we give naysayers a bigger voice than what they really deserve and what they really should represent.
Yep.
I think there's a lot more people that are proud of Nowra than that are not, but it seems like the naysayers have a bigger voice. And I just like, that's why I love this nowra.org.au, because it's giving that positive voice out and less of a voice to naysayers, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you. Last question. Who is one person you'd love to hear their story on this podcast? Someone from Nowra or the surrounding area that has an interesting story, or you would love to hear us dive a bit deeper into their experience of Nowra?
Heroes?
Heroes.
Hero. Absolute hero.
Anyone.
Absolute hero of mine, John Hatton.
John Hatton?
Yeah, I think he was a teacher at Nowra High.
Yeah.
And he was a local, independent local representative in New South Wales Parliament. He was a big instigator into the Royal Commission and things like that. And he fought hard against corruption and a whole range of other things. He was threatened. He was, you know, in fear at times, but he never stepped back from what he believed in. And he's a musician as well. I think, seriously, he'd be a really interesting person to talk to. I think he'd be an amazing person to talk to.
Great. Yeah. All right. John Hatton, you're up next. any last words, Murph, before we log off for this?
Look,
session?
I just think I've already said it, but I'd just like to really encourage nowra.org.au to all of those people who came up with the idea, to all of those people that are working towards it, and to anyone who's listening to this podcast who is interested in getting involved in community. Get involved and make a difference, because one person can make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for all the training you've done here. Thank you for Triple U Studios for hosting us and allowing us to record from here. It's a real pleasure to be part of this community and share our stories with the people of Nowra and everyone else listening. Thank you very much, Murph.
Thank you for listening to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We're recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.